Mail It In Friday, off and running, TSN 1050, online, tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4, Brian Hazio, Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We all got the memo. We're all laid back and just kicking back and very comfortable attire
very
today. I like
comfortable.
It. I like it.
I love it. Yeah.
Very Mail It In Friday-esque type of wardrobe, and that means the boys are feeling good. I think we should be feeling good.
We earned this Friday.
Yes, that's what we did. We had a long week. We worked very hard. We had some good shows. There were some stressful things to talk about. We developed a new segment, Disrespect or Respect. What is it called? Respect or Disrespect?
Respect or Disrespect. Yeah, that was established this week. And we've had a lot cooking. You're right. Yeah. Al's brother was right in the fold, and we're gonna rekindle a little conversation we had yesterday. Later this hour, and Al's brother's in studio, so he'll be prepped, and we'll get to the bottom of what we think happened on Twitter a few weeks ago.
Really? We got something going on that?
Yeah,
that
absolutely. Yeah, Haley Salvian is going to join us from The Athletic, and she was in the crosshairs of Al's brother online. And
you must have been watching my segment on Overdrive. actually, no, I wasn't.
No, absolutely not. Mute, block.
And
report.
I think she trolled him yesterday. He's like, who is this Al's brother character? Or something like that.
Who is this Al's brother character that people are talking to me about?
Oh, my Lord.
So there'll be an introduction later. We'll catch up with Haley. We'll get her take on what's going on out in Calgary and Western Canada and what to expect as we get closer to the playoffs. So that'll be good. We look forward to that. And Al's brother is a serial tweeter as well. There's a few different characters here that work at TSN that, man, do they love getting on a timeline and tweeting about different things. And
who would you say at TSN is the Gretzky of tweeting? Because I have someone in mind.
It's Carlo.
I almost responded to his tweet last night, go to bed. Like, he was like making some comment about Koskinen getting yanked. It was like, Jamie McLennan knows how to break a stick. I almost wrote back, go to bed. Like, it was like 10 or 11 o'clock already. He's got to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I swear, he never sleeps.
He's a Twittering machine is what he is. Here we go. Try this sausage sauce, and then let's get golfing. Come on, Doug Ford. And then let's go Leafs. Matthew's going to get 40 tonight. Hashtag 40. Hashtag this is 40. Yeah. And let's go Oilers. McDavid's awesome. Yeah. Under 18s, Canada. Go Canada. Try this sauce with your spaghetti. And then go Matthews.
And he's doing that all while he's live on Instagram, too.
Right.
I see on Instagram he's always live.
No, he's always live.
He's like talking to
himself. He doesn't have time for Instagram, dude.
You right now. I swear in my life, every time I go on Instagram, there's that button at the top where it's like live chat, and I'll press on it, and it's Carlo and some guy, and they're talking hockey cards or something. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here before they see me on this.
I think I know that's my fear also. Like, you join a live Instagram. There's one other person on there. You're like, oh, God, I can't believe they just saw me. Yeah. I have to get out of here. I can't be a part of this. And, he does that like three times a week or something. He opens like old hockey cards or something.
Which is pretty cool. I mean, we're making fun of it. It's actually pretty cool. I wish I had old hockey cards.
He's just into everything. He's got his head. Check out the hockey cards. Try the hot sauce. These are all the pizzas that were delivered for my lunch. Hashtag this is 40 goals for Matthews. Hashtag let's go McDavid. Late game, the Bills. Go, Bills Mafia.
Bang!
All in one. Bang!
Love
bang.
It.
I love it. Poliakovo's got it all covered, man. He's the best follow on Twitter, on Instagram.
He's critter.
He has everything covered. Like, if you want to know what's going on in the Toronto sports world, the sports world in general, the culinary world, anything, it's all available right there with Carlo.
So on Twitter and on Instagram.
And, the Instagram live thing is very dangerous. We did that a lot at the start of this pandemic. Remember, we were all kind of doing it with Instagram live on the TSN 1050 account. And we had a pretty good response. And I don't know if that's still a thing for people. Like, I know it was for a while. It became a thing where there were different celebrities that were trying to get upwards of 100,000 people on at a time, or a few hundred thousand. I think Tory Lanez once had like 600,000 people viewing at the same time.
Really?
Which is pretty incredible when you consider it, 600,000 people. That said, there's how many hundreds of millions of people that are on Instagram around the world? But I guess they have to be following you to have access to it. Plus, they, you know, it's something you want to do. You want to join the chat or whatever. But it is, it's like showing up to a party too early or too late. You know, you walk into a room where there's no one in there and you're like, oh, they just saw me that I entered. And I think it says when you leave as well. So if you immediately do the Grandpa Simpson and turn right around and leave the room, it's like, oh, this guy clearly did not want to be a part of this.
Well,
so
I've done it. And I honestly, I don't know. I get worried that it says like whatever Noodles has joined the chat, and then
what happens if you goes, wheel in, if you wheel into the room and somebody's just Peter Jacobson on their living room floor?
Well, I think there's rules and regulations.
Yeah, I mean, don't think it's a porn site or anything.
I don't know if there's like a delay. You know, if that's what you're suggesting, like could someone possibly do that? I guess they possibly could. But
dude,
I would think Instagram would sniff it out.
I got to tell you this. Carlo just sent me a pic of the hot sauce with a bang sign on top of the hot sauce.
Bang!
Oh, he's the best.
He's the best.
He really is.
He's got it all covered, man. He's leading the charge of getting golf going, which I really support. And I appreciate that all these different associations and golf courses are coming together and really trying to make a push. I'm so defeated when it comes to what this government is going to allow in terms of outdoor activities. I mean, forget golf alone. It's tennis, it's basketball, it's kids getting out and playing. Like that should be at the forefront of this.
Well, how dumb is the message? Go do things outdoors, but by the way, heads up, don't play golf. Like,
I've got
that's
one
ridiculous
question for you guys. When this opens, because eventually it will, I don't know the date, I'm not going to predict that, are the golf courses allowed to maintain? So my question is, your golf course, whatever course you golf at, is probably going to be the greatest course you've seen by the time you get there, right?
They're going to be in perfect shape. They're maintaining it right now. I actually drove by Dreger's goat track out by me, and it looks like Quail Hollow. Like, this thing is in pristine shape. I saw a guy.
No way.
Oh, I'm telling
you. Rocks in the fairway.
No, it's perfect. There isn't a divot.
This was the biggest goat ranch I've ever seen in my life.
And it might be 2 weeks after it opens, but I'm telling you right now, this thing is Augusta National, basically.
Because,
and yes, you're right, Noodles.
Like
it'll be perfect. Every course is going to be in perfect shape. No one's out there.
Like because no you can't have it, so you're sitting at the glass, like looking in the window, like you're window shopping golf right now. So that course is probably still a goat ranch, but it's the greatest goat ranch you've ever seen
it
in your life because you can't have it.
Right. It's like I have drunk goggles on. You know, like it's actually a 2, and it looks like a 10 to me. Like I've had a 2-6 of vodka, and I'm cruising around. I'm like, that golf course looks perfect, like perfect to me. And that, I think, is probably what's happening with every golfer in Ontario throughout the country, but only Ontario is the one where you're not allowed to play golf.
Dude, I looked at Twitter today, and I saw a bunch of tweets from Dregs and Duthie and prominent people. I'm like, just look at how sad this is, the state of Ontario and Canada.
I know. We're
begging and dying to play golf.
It's really sickening.
Like, we're begging to play golf. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Like,
how did the roles get reversed to this point? But, you know, listen, I understand there's been a lot of buildup. There's reasoning behind everything. This one, I can't fathom how you came to this conclusion.
Dude, it's just sad, Hayes, because it's just sad that we're the butt of people's jokes now. People, like prominent people, are on podcasts and on the news goofing on our province and our country like we're a bunch of morons. Well, maybe we are the way things are being run.
Well,
it's
no, but that's the truth. We had Ramona Shelburne on a few days ago. And remember, Ramona, before she left, was like, oh, I just wanted to say I'm thinking of everyone. I hear it's really bad. And really, when you hear just lockdown, that's what triggers a lot of it, especially in the states. They're opening up in a lot of different states where they're just like, let's get going here. Whether you agree with that or disagree with it, that's the way they're going. And specifically, though, I think the sports, like that's how a lot of people like in the sporting world would pick up on that, specifically from Twitter. This is where Twitter, it's a global app. I mean, it connects people. We all have followers on both sides of the border. And if they see us retweet please let us golf. They must think the apocalypse is hitting up there. Like, what is going on up there when this guy from Toronto is retweeting a please let us play golf campaign?
And I'm looking at my buddy's Instagram, and they're at the Kentucky Derby.
Kentucky Derby, exactly.
And they're in a private box and living it up. And, you know, it seemed like there was some rules there, but nothing compared to what, you know, we are going through right now. And unfortunately, you know, we do have some good things to talk about. Why don't we – let's make this positive Friday. Let's shift into 34 getting 40. Let's shift into, you know, we got Freddie that's playing tomorrow.
We got last night. Yeah, we got the Jays in Houston tonight.
That, though, man.
Primo? Yeah, well, I mean, that first one, the Galchenyuk one, that's a backhand from the slot along the ice.
The first three goals were on him. Mitch Marner's was brilliant. Outside of that, all three were stoppable.
Yeah.
The one from the corner, Engvall's.
Yeah.
That team was garbage, too, though. They were garbage in that first period. But I guess it's hard to look good when four are in your net.
Yeah.
But Montreal, I don't know.
Game was over. I don't know what the hell they're doing, why they wouldn't start Jake Allen. Like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, why are you not starting? Why would you not start Primo on the front end of that back-to-back?
Well, for the Leafs concerned, they don't care. But the big story of the night is 40 goals, and then the other guy followed up at Edmonton, and he's creeping up on 100.
96 points.
40 goals in 49 games, man. That is so legit. Me and Duthie talked about it last night. I got 41 in 82, and I thought I was Guy Lafleur.
You know what?
49 games, man. That's outrageous.
Oh, it's truly a historic pace. I mean, I laid out the stats earlier in the week. You know, and we're playing the extrapolation game, which when the dust settles, we're going to have to figure out how we define this season historically. And I'm not talking about competition or talking about no fans in the stands. I'm talking about 56 games compared to 82, because it's impossible to truly compare, because you're not going to have the same amount of data and you're not going to have the same record book, because it has been adjusted based on COVID. But I have contended throughout my lifetime, I can't speak to what happened in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, but the two greatest seasons in Leaf history, and certainly the two greatest seasons in my lifetime, are Doug Gilmour in 92-93, Doug Gilmour in 93-94. He had 127 points the first year, 111 the next. Those are the two highest point totals in team history. He was a rock star. He was bar play off the charts. He was everything you could ever expect. He was Dougie Gilmour, and it was the best of the best. I think you can legitimately say, and I will right now, this season by Matthews is the second best season of my lifetime. And I think I'm creeping in on Mitch Marner having the fourth best season of my lifetime. Better than any season I can recall Sundin having. Any other seasons featuring Gilmour. McGillney had a couple of big years here or there. I mean, there are other players. But I honestly think you're talking about this Matthews season as the third best season of my lifetime behind those two Gilmour years, and there's a chance he can push that depending on what happens in the playoffs, although Dougie was a rock star in the playoffs as well, as we know both years. And I think legitimately Mitch Marner is having a top five season in my lifetime. We're talking the last 35 years, 30 years anyway, since the beginning of the 90s. Mitch Marner, I think, is also putting forth one of the five greatest seasons this franchise has seen. That's what they're doing together. And I think it was fitting that Marner had a primary assist setting up Matthews the way he did last night, because Matthews has 40 and Marner's got 25 assists on those 40 goals, which is pretty incredible.
Makes sense. You know, it makes sense that, you know, that duo has had such a fantastic season. We don't talk about Marner enough. It's the Draisaitl conversation, you know, like it's McDavid and Matthews. And you could argue, like, those other two, that's not being disrespectful, because they've both been star players, ridiculous. I don't know if there's enough oxygen for them.
No, because of what the two guys are doing. Like, I think it's difficult to separate which one felt even more difficult to believe at the beginning of the season. The old, if I had told you on January 1st that anyone in the league would hit 100 points or anyone in the league would score 40 goals. I think both you'd say, I just don't see that being possible. Like, but I think if you went back to January 1st and I told you one guy would hit 100 points, everyone would say McDavid would be the guy to do it. And I think
I would also say you're nuts.
Brian, anybody
for 100 points, I did not think it was possible. 40 goals and 100 points, I did not think were
not before the season. It came. No. It started becoming clear pretty quickly for me on McDavid hitting 100. I've been saying it for like the last 30 games.
I was just going to say, Brian, I want to say, and I'm going to give you props on this. I think you're the earliest that was saying, because you, right when we were having our like Hart, you know, who would you sign off on Hart? You said right from day one, it would not surprise me if McDavid has a 150-point pace. Like you said, Draisaitl, because Draisaitl was like 127-point pace. He had 110 points in 71 games last year. And you said, I think McDavid's poised to do something crazy. And I don't know if you said it that first day, but my earliest recollection of you saying, like, I think McDavid could get to 100. And I don't know if that was day, you know,
I don't remember saying it. I don't know if I put a number on it right away, but the way he got going, I've been saying it for quite some time, and I'm not alone in that now. And clearly it's become a formality. He needs 4 points in four games. It'd be a shock if he didn't get it. No, it'd be a shock if he didn't get it. It'd be a shock if it took him until the final game, the pace he's been on all year.
Who does he play tomorrow? Next?
They got Vancouver tomorrow night.
Right, exactly. He might have a four-point game tomorrow night.
And then he can rest.
And then he can shut it down a little bit. But again, I will say this. I thought earlier on in the process it was more likely McDavid would hit 100 points than Matthews would score 40. And yet here we are. Matthews somehow beat him to the punch, which is pretty incredible. McDavid's going to get there. It's just a formality. It's a matter of time. But they're really, the two of them are putting up seasons that deserve to take up all the oxygen, you know, like deserve it. With all the respect to Marner and Draisaitl, even McKinnon, Kane, Stone, Rantanen, there's a lot of guys having great years. Marchand's having a spectacular year.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of other guys who've had great years, but these two in particular, because of who they are, in some ways because of where they play, they're on another level right now.
You know what? I was doing the game for SportsCenter last night. Obviously, you did it for the panel. And Paul Medeiros was asking me, like, what kind of angle can you talk about, you know, McDavid or Matthews? Like, they're all so exhausted, right? Because it's like every day you're like, here he did it again.
Right.
So I ended up talking about Tavares, and I think he's really been on a really quiet, nice heater and stuff like that. But he asked me this question. This is why I brought it up. He was like, you know, is this one of the greatest seasons you've ever seen? And he was talking about McDavid, and I go, he played in Edmonton. So I went back, and I know people have done this, like, I went back and I just went Hockey DB Gretzky just for, like, you know what? I think we all know the totals, but like, if I'm like, he had 92 one year. He had 120 assists when he was 20 years old. Like, it's mind-boggling.
It is when you look at what Gretzky and Lemieux in particular. Now, they weren't alone, but Gretzky and Lemieux, the two of them are, it's just insane. Like, they rewrote the record books in the 80s and early 90s.
Now, era adjusted.
But that is one area where I think that is going to become more and more relevant as we go forward, because goaltending alone is the biggest difference. Like, it's just, it's not even close. You look at the goaltending in the early 80s, like, it was comical at times, like the goals that were going along the ice from the blue line.
Oh my God! You know, you would go on a 2-on-1 and you'd do a head fake, and the goalie would jump in the corner.
Yeah, it was. And listen, everyone was playing by the same rules then.
Yeah, I know.
So
I know.
To be fair, everyone else in the league wasn't scoring 92 or whatever. So, but I think that's where the era adjusted is going to probably truly make it capable to define where McDavid's at and where Matthews is at. It's difficult to compare eras. It's difficult to compare anyone, McDavid or otherwise, to a guy like Gretzky or Lemieux. But I think in terms of where Toronto is at, this is not a franchise that has been prone to those, you know, superstar, all-time great-type players. They just haven't. You know, it's always been something that's been lacking outside of the Cups for more than 50 years. It's not to suggest they haven't had great players. Of course they have. They've had a ton of Hall of Famers. But Gretzky, you know, the top 10, the consensus top 10 players of all time, none of them are Leafs. right?
Right.
And I'm not saying that Matthews and Marner are going to play themselves into that, but that's where these two are at right now in terms of the current NHL. Matthews is a top three player in the league right now, and I would suggest Marner continues to move himself up the list as well. Mm-hmm. And where he is he top 15? Is he top 10? That's arbitrary. That's for people to figure out on their own. But that's how good these two guys are right now. And in terms of their, you know, the best duo, that's another practice you can have. Like, that's an original take here in terms of where we're at for the past 30 years. All I can reference is what I know and what I've seen throughout my lifetime. Gilmore and Clark, Gilmore and Andrejczyk, Sundin, McGillney, Sundin, Roberts, McCabe, Caberle. Like, those are some of the pairings that kind of stick out. I'm probably missing a couple. But I think Matthews and Marner probably played themselves into the top of that list or real close to
dude.
It.
Dude.
Sure.
Two more years, they'll be at the top of the list if they're not right now.
But what stops everything in its tracks is what's going to start in a week and a half.
Success. That's playoff exactly success.
You got to have it. And that is where, again, I can't say Matthews has had a better year than Doug Gilmore when Gilmore brought his team to the conference final 2 years in a row. I can't do it. And Matt
Dude,
Sundin,
if they win the Stanley Cup,
final.
Get out there and get the chisel out on Legends Row and just chisel their statues right now.
Well, that is going to clearly put them in a different position than anyone else.
Get the whittler out. Whittle the statue, Hazy B.
Yep.
We'll get mine down from Barry.
Well, you got to walk before
you remember how ignorant that was, Noodles?
That was
when I said, I think they'd all get some statues for guys like me, and Hayes goes, yeah, but you can have one, but it's going to be in Barry. That's how far away they want you from Legends Row.
That's how long Legends Row has to go, made up of players, before they get to yours.
I mean, there would be a few guys ahead of you. I'll openly admit that, though.
Right. But just outside of the mold.
Thanks for giving me that information, you morons, as if I didn't know that.
I will say in Carolina, it's a very short list.
Very short list. Very short list.
That is right. If you're going around the building, you're right, like, in that front
corridor.
You're
on Legends Row, just period. You have to
right
be.
There, you and Rod the Bod and Ronnie Francis and Archie Urbe.
Justin Williams or Boy
Justin
Mr. Game
Williams.
Seven.
Like there's only
Eric
a
show.
Like maybe the Wizard, Ray Whitney. You know,
no,
like
he's not before me.
No, can't.
Well,
be.
I'm just saying.
He is because he won the cup. They would just pick everybody that won the cup over me.
Well, no, there's a few scrubs in there that you.
Yeah, that's
just because you're
true.
On
not
the team. But my point being is, yeah, I would say it's a little farther on Legends Row, but. You know,
Hazy, Sarnia, Town Hall in Sarnia?
I'd probably be on the other side of the border, but it'd be all good. I'd be in Michigan somewhere, but I'd be teeing it. That's all that matters. I'd be on the right side of the 403.
Well, let's get this going. Honestly, these next games, you know, it's nice to watch, but you're like, okay, like now
yeah,
let's
you're,
move
you're
it
looking
along.
For, and here's what I took out of last night, I will say. The score is somewhat irrelevant. You know, Matthews scores 40, Cole Caulfield scores again. A couple of moments here or there. I did sense it was a more physical game than previous games, and I thought that was mostly driven by the Habs in particular. And some of it was probably they were like, we're getting embarrassed. It was 3-0 before you even woke up. But I thought there were enough guys on both sides of the puck that were finishing hits, which is something we talked about yesterday. I expect that to amplify tomorrow night. Like, it's very clear-cut if you're Montreal. Like, if you're going to win this, you need Price. Or Allen, one or the other, to be on their A-plus game. Like, you are not going to match up well against the Leafs in terms of talent and in terms of the way you've been playing. You know, the Habs are really sputtering down the stretch here. The Leafs, I think, have lost 3 games of regulation in the last, like, 20 or 25. The Leafs are feeling it right now, and they're in a good spot. So if you're Montreal, if you're Dominique Ducharme, you clearly need goaltending. That's out of your power. That's on them in particular. That's not a style of play. You need Carey Price to recover, be 100% and ready to rock. The ultimate X factor. If not, it's got to be Jake Allen. But beyond that, for me, if I'm the Habs, I am mucking it up. I am throwing as many hits as I can. I am causing scrums. I'm frustrating. I'm clutching and grabbing where I can.
That's playoff hockey.
That's
though.
What they have to do. That's what they have to do but to they... win. I don't see how they win on any other way.
Well, they need Weber and Gallagher back, too. I mean, you know, Gallagher makes that team different. He drags them into the war. Shea Weber, say what you want about him. Like, I don't want to go down his side. Like, the reason why Montreal was so good at the start of the year is they're a balanced team. They're not balanced right now because they need all of their players just to be good. And when those players aren't in, then you see leaks in the dam. And that's where Price, Weber, Gallagher, you know, Dano left last night's game. Doesn't sound like it's that serious. Tatar just coming back. Like, you know, Drouin sounds like he's gone. Like, unfortunately, and hopefully, you know, personal issues are dealt with. But, you know, they need everything firing on all cylinders to compete in the playoffs. Compete. Not yep. win. Compete.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Compete. Put yourself in a position where you think you can maybe win it. They need a yep. lot to fall their way right now.
Agreed.
Rays coming up just after 5. Haley Salvian will join us later in the hour. Al's brother will factor into that as well. The Raptors, Fred VanVleet with a miracle three that sent it to overtime. I'm like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, do you think we need more evaluation? That's what it was last night. Five
dude,
more minutes
I can't
of
even take that game seriously.
I can't either.
It's like you don't want to dress Kyle Lowry. I'm not even watching.
And listen, that's in their best interest in terms of losing. That's what had to happen last night. The worst they can do or the best they can do is 7th last in the league, which puts you in 7th pick or 7th best odds to win the lottery. That's what has to happen, though. And from now on, you're tanking. Like, you sit Siakam. He was too good last night. Sit him. VanVleet, sit him. Like, if you're tanking, tank. Commit to it. Don't win again the rest of the year.
Dude, they should have committed right after the deadline.
Well,
after
no,
the deadline.
They should have traded Lowry and then just basically said we're done here. But they did. I mean, listen, they haven't been winning a lot of ball games anyway. But we'll get into that. The Jays are back in Houston tonight taking on the Astros. They had a big win yesterday afternoon. That and more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Big one in the NBA tonight. The Lakers are at Portland. And basically whoever wins this game holds on to that 6th seed. And LeBron's not going tonight. Anthony Davis has a bad back.
No, he doesn't. He rolled his ankle last night.
Well, he's been dealing with a lot. He's been dealing with back issues. Is that why he left the game, was the ankle? But he's expected to play tonight.
Well, that was the weird part about the game. He rolled over. It was clear as day on his ankle. And then it says, left the game with backs, upper yeah. back. I'm like, yeah. no, guy.
He's probably dealing with
it. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I meant no way.
No way. Or non-gui. Français.
No, not even that.
Not
even that. No. Please. Never again.
I think that's within our wheelhouse, personally.
No, it isn't. Trust me on this one. No way.
What about Korean? If you can figure, you got to figure that out in Korean.
Right.
Yes,
I'm not doing. No way. Never again.
If we change languages, maybe there's a chance that.
No, there's no chance. Moving on. Moving on.
Moving on. Moving on. So yeah, big one in Portland tonight. We'll get to that a little bit later on. This afternoon, again, the Jays are in Houston as well. We're tracking the Wells Fargo down at Quail Hollow, and your boy, dude, Harry Higgs.
Dude.
What was he doing this afternoon?
Dude, he was in the rough. It looked like he was 235 yards away, and this guy grabs some patio furniture, like a 3-wood or something, and starts hacking and whacking and just hits it over a hospitality's. And it's the most vicious, violent four yell you've ever heard in your life.
I think we have it. Do you want to play it?
Oh, play Harry Higgs, our guy Harry Higgs, hacking and whacking.
Harry Higgs playing 18, which again is the most difficult hole on the golf course.
What are we trying?
And from where? He's right on that cut line at 1-0. Oh, that hit the top of the tent.
What? What was he thinking with that club?
Oh, Nicky Faldo.
Nicky play that again.
Faldo.
Play it
play
again
it one more time.
What was he thinking?
No, the whole thing.
The whole thing is too good. It's so good because he misses this thing by...
Dude, he's 100 yards left of the green.
He's 100 yards left, and he's short.
Yeah.
Too. He's short and left, and it's the hardest hole in the court. You can't see the golf ball. It's buried.
Harry Higgs playing 18, which, again, is the most difficult hole on the golf course.
What are we trying?
And from where? He's right on that cut line at 1-0. Oh, that hit the top of the tent.
What was he thinking with that club?
Nicky Faldo.
Okay, we might have to play this a third time. I think he yells heads up after he yells four.
Play it again.
Harry Higgs playing 18, which again is the most difficult hole on the golf course.
What are we trying?
And from where?
He does. He says
he's running that cut line at 1-0. Oh, that hit the top of the 10.
What was he thinking with that club?
The thing is,
the thing about Faldo, man. Like, that's one of the worst shots you'll ever see. And all Faldo's got is, what was he thinking?
What was he thinking with that club?
Like, Faldo's got to say that's one of the worst shots you'll ever see on tour.
What would Johnny Miller say? What would Johnny Miller
say? He would have said this guy doesn't belong on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, he should be on the Corn Ferry.
Yes.
With a shot like that.
And he would have said this exactly. That shot right there is a one-way ticket to the Corn Ferry Tour. That's what Johnny Miller would have said.
That's right. And it's the decision to start with. He's hitting a three-wood. Like, you cannot see the ball. It's completely buried. And he's hitting. There's water in play. And the scary thing is he had to yell that loud because you know this. So anyone in that drink tent would never think a pro player is hitting a ball anywhere close to them.
Can like you imagine you wouldn't being be paying half attention. In the bag in that hospitality tent and just turning the corner and taking one right off the cranium? You would be like, who in the hell hit that shot?
Right.
I'm 100 yards left of the green and 80 yards short.
And from where?
That has some serious juice behind it. I don't think I've ever heard a guy on tour yell four that loud and that violent.
And from where?
Can you? Would that, like, who made that choice, though?
Shut up, Noodles. Caddy? Play it again. Play Harry Higgs all day long, right from the top.
Harry Higgs playing 18, which, again, is the most difficult hole on the golf course.
What are we trying? And from where?
He's right on that cut line at 1-0. Oh, that hit the top of the 10.
What was he thinking with that club?
There's a little Sam Rosen in there when he's like, oh, that hit the top of the 10.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
my goodness.
Almost shot.
He made five.
So where did he drop? Like, where did
he was like, I don't know. I watched it, though. I'm like, he was behind the tent. He's taking a drop. I watched the whole sequence, and then he fist pumped to the crowd when he put it in for five.
Oh, good for him. Oh. So that's on 18. Did he miss the cut? He must have missed the cut.
I don't know. It did not look like that was any kind of A game, did it?
He needs a win soon, man. Like, it's love Harry Higgs, but I'm getting concerned about Harry.
But would the caddy get in trouble? Unless that was his choice.
No, no.
Ultimately, that's on the player, Noodles. I can't imagine the only reason the caddy might suggest it is if he was on the cut line and he's like, you got to birdie this hole.
So go for it.
You got to go for it. Maybe that was the thinking. Like, I'll try to find him on the leaderboard. There he is. He's at three over. So you know what? That would probably explain it. Cut line's one over. He was lying. I guess that was his second shot. He probably knew he had to birdie to make the cut. And that's probably what happened there.
So just swing away type of thing, trying.
No, it was just a stupid play. That was his, that was his back nine, but that was his front nine. So he wasn't even halfway through.
Oh, so he was on the. Oh, okay. So it really, there's no reasoning behind it at all.
What was he thinking? It's just a weird decision.
I mean,
just a weird shot.
I see. Okay, so he teed off on the back. All right, so that, there's no explanation for that, Noodles. And there's there isn't a caddy alive that would suggest you should hit a three-wood when your ball is that buried.
Although that hole, man, that was playing it like that. Everybody was having lumber in their hands. Like that thing, the wind was howling. I think it's 470 yards to begin with, uphill, and it ate Harry up.
That caused him some problems. Yeah, he was looking for some Tito's back there, and you put one off the top of the tent.
Yeah, 80 yards short and left and 100 yards left of the green.
Yeah, someone just wrote in and said, Harry Higgs got the yardage from O-Dog with his gun, because I've been on the wrong side of that a few times.
Gun, that's right.
Give me a yardage there for Harry Higgs. Yeah, you're probably paying about 240 out of this. You can whack it through.
I've never felt worse than when I pulled up to the green. I gave you the number, 175. And you buttered a 6-iron, and we get to the green, and it was in the devil's rear end, like at the side of the green. And you pured it, and you looked at me, and I was like, oh, man, I gunned it again, and I was 10 yards long.
Yeah. You know what Nick Faldo would have said if he was watching us? That's when we were up at Goodwood with Donnie Nichols, and
yeah,
if he saw me hit that ball flush, but 15 yards over the green, he'd probably say,
"What was he thinking with that club?"
That's right. And my answer would be, "I got the wrong yardage." Although that's on me too. I mean, I need to own it. I got my own one. I could have checked it out. I could have. Yeah. Paste it out, made sure I had the right yardage.
And if there was people behind the green, you would have had to yell the Harry Higgs 4.
And from where?
Amazing.
I love it. All right, Haley Salvian will join us from The Athletic out in Calgary. And we'll see if she can revisit the time Al's brother thought she was, I don't know, taking his material. I'm not sure how
he
should
being
really.
A hero. I think he was being a hero, don't you think?
I think there was a part of it that was heroic. But Al's brother will be in studio as well. We'll get him to kind of lay it out from his perspective, and we'll be the jury on this. So Haley will join us. Al's brother will join us. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, race coming up in about 20 minutes. We've got Duffy on later this afternoon as well. Jeff Blum down in Houston teeing up the Jays series. Your boy Chicken Strips back on the mound tonight. Ross Stripling. And we're playing that. We're playing that Harry Higgs clip a few more times.
No. All
50 more times.
Day.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say heads up. He says four left.
He says four left. That's the second part?
Yeah. Okay. Four and then four left.
Four left, as if anyone didn't know. It looked like there were a fair amount of people down there, which, again, I'm not surprised, but Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm shocked you haven't played Quail Hollow. Like, shocked. You were Mr. Carolina Golf, and you haven't been down there.
Well, Pinehurst number 2 is 45 minutes away, so I was frequently there.
Well, I'm sure you were. I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying I figured you would have found a way to sniff that one out.
None of my buddies. I didn't even know about it, Hayes. They never said, hey, you want to go play this track down in Charlotte? It was never brought to my attention.
One of these days, we'll get down there. Great spot for golf. All right, Al's brother, I believe, is in the studio. And Al's brother, your reputation has been called into question here.
Yeah.
Based on something we brought up yesterday, because one of your power rankings was, I believe, most underrated players in the country, right? And who you had Mangiapane as one of your most underrated. Is that the way it played out?
Yeah, I thought Mangiapane at the time was a very underrated player. Still think he is. Think he's a quality player for the Flames. And he scored like a really sweet goal. And then Haley tweeted out something along the lines of like, Mangiapane, really good at hockey. So I tweeted back at her and just said, oh, you must have seen my segment today on Overdrive. I said he was one of the most underrated players in the division. She tweets back saying, no, I didn't, but glad that you said that.
Okay, so it's supportive.
That
all right, so
just feathers.
It's basically stop talking to me. And So that's your interpretation. Let's bring in Haley Salvian. She's out there in Calgary, covers the Flames for The Athletic, and she joins us now on Overdrive. How you doing, Haley?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Yeah, so is that your interpretation? This is probably the most ridiculous thing you've ever done in your life, that you have to basically define a Twitter back and forth with Al's brother back in the day, but can you recall the interaction at all?
I heard about what happened yesterday on the show, and I didn't remember the tweet that, you know, I guess I roasted him, but it sounded like something I would do. Yeah, I went back and I found the tweet, and your producer sent it my way too, just so I wasn't coming in here having no idea what you guys are talking about. And yeah, I guess I tweeted something that Andrew Mangiapane is very good at hockey, which is true. I mean, I'm at the rink every day. I watch him play every day at practice and games. And then, yeah, Al's brother was like, oh, you must have been listening to my hit because, you know, I don't even have to watch the games if I listen to Al's brother's ranking.
That's right. Well,
that's had you ever heard of Al's brother before?
Yes, I have. My tweet yesterday, I was just trying to humble him a little bit.
Oh, I think it worked.
I have heard of Al's brother.
I think it worked. Right. I didn't know Al's brother had an army behind him on Twitter of support. The amount of people supporting Al's brother. Were you surprised Al's brother or what?
Extremely surprised. They totally like pavilioned the situation
and
just pumped my tires. I had a good night just scrolling through looking at those replies. That was hilarious.
Okay, good to hear. Well, yeah, we didn't mean to bring you into the crossfire here, Haley, but we figured we should bring you on because we mentioned the back and forth and I think you responded appropriately, quite frankly. But what's the vibe like out in Calgary these days? It doesn't seem like it's been going so well.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I think if you flash back a couple of months to the start of the season, you know, on paper, I think a lot of people probably thought the Flames would be one of the teams, you know, not maybe not in first, because I think most people tapped the Leafs to be the best team in the North Division. But, you know, I think a lot of people thought the Flames would be, you know, in that conversation for second, third in the division, and certainly not, you know, 10 points out of fourth place, tied with the Ottawa Senators with 47 points right now. So it's not great. I think this season, you know, hasn't gone the way that most people would have expected. I think this is a team that has been worse than the sum of their parts. And, you know, the vibes aren't great. A lot of the fans are calling for major changes. A lot of them are calling for a rebuild, which I don't think is necessary. I think the Flames have enough pieces here that, you know, they could do a retool and keep, you know, some of these core players intact. But, you know, it's not great. It, you know, the Flames haven't won a playoff round since 2015, so it's been 6 years since they've even made it out of the first round, and they've missed the playoffs a couple of times in that span. So the vibes are not good here in Calgary, and I think this is a team that's poised to be making some changes this summer.
Haley, you covered Ottawa last year, and you go out to Calgary. How different are the Zooms now that Daryl Sutter's involved in them?
it's pretty good. I mean, you know, with what the job is at the Athletic, you know, I don't typically, you know, last year in Ottawa, I probably didn't use a lot of stuff in scrums. You know, you just kind of go and try to talk to people one-on-one because you want to give people something different because people are paying for what they're getting with the Athletic. But, you know, this Zoom world is very different. You know, it's most of the access that we get. But I don't ask too many questions because, you know, it's not stuff that I use, but so it's been pretty funny to me to listen to some of the things that Daryl has said this year. I think, you know, he's obviously a very smart hockey mind, but he's definitely not shy to rip a couple people. If people think that what I said to Al's brother was fleecing him, they haven't heard anything that Daryl Sutter said. But it's pretty funny. I mean, I'm laughing because he's not, you know, I'm not the one that he's directing it at, but it's completely different than, you know, asking DJ Smith a question or even Jeff Ward, for sure.
We're chatting with Haley Salvian of The Athletic, and this, you know, Al's brother, you and her, I guess you've gone back and forth on Twitter a little bit. You've been awfully quiet here as we got back into the whole content of the Flames. Do you have anything in particular you want to, maybe a statement you want to make? Do you have a hot take you want Haley to respond to? Go ahead, take the mic, Al's
In terms
brother.
Of our Twitter discussion or like Flames
Just
wise?
In general, you did say they were the most disappointing team, I believe, this
I
year.
I did think that they've definitely underachieved. I was one who thought they were going to have a pretty good season with all that they put together. So, Haley, I guess my question to you is, since they've made the coaching change, there was a little bit of a rocky situation at the start. They went on a pretty big losing skid, but seems to have weathered the ship a little bit. Have you seen a difference in the way that this team has played going into next season that maybe should give fans a little bit of hope with Sutter going forward?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, obviously at the end of the day that the team is still several games under 500, especially when you look at their games since Daryl Sutter started. I guess it was March 13th. They're probably about seven games under 500. But I think there are some notable changes. You know, they're much better structurally. They're much better defensively. You know, they kept, I think, twice now under Daryl. They've allowed only 17 shots against. They've had 20 shots against. You know, they're doing a much better job limiting opportunities. And, you know, obviously they have a good goaltender in Jacob Markstrom, but that's always going to be good for a team. So there's some structural differences that have been good, I think. Daryl's trying to get the team to play at a, you know, a better pace. That's been something he's noted a lot, that this is a group that just doesn't play with the pace to keep up at the NHL level. So we're seeing a lot less, you know, carrying the puck in, a lot more chip and chase because they just don't have the, you know, north-south speed. You know, I think there's definitely some things that fans are still worried about. This is a team that, you know, has gone through streaks where they can't score. It looks like they're shooting on a toddler net sometimes because they just can't seem to hit it. But I still think that, you know, I don't like just throwing out underlying numbers without context, but I think if you do look at some of the numbers, you know, their puck possession's better. They're driving the play offensively a lot more often than they were under Jeff Ward. And I think those are certainly positive things. But again, at the end of the day, they're still not, you know, able to score. You know, you can talk about expected goals, but you know, they're
yeah,
not
that
scoring.
Only goes so far.
Like you can have 15 expected goals. When you score zero, it doesn't mean much. I think you can get a little bit of hope in that, but you know, either you can score or you can't, and you can win or you can't. So it's a bit of a mixed bag there, but I still do think that Daryl Sutter is a good coach who can help right the ship. It wasn't a short-term magic elixir, but I think that just shows that their issues lie a little bit deeper than coaching.
Well, we'll leave it there. We'll make sure Al's brother leaves you alone on Twitter as well. We'll talk to him.
Thank you.
Any takes you have, we'll make sure that he, you know, does his own thing on his own account. And we appreciate the time as always, Haley. We'll do it again down the road. And thank you for this.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
There's Haley Salvian of The Athletic out in Calgary. So
Al's brother, great question.
Great
yes,
question.
Very good question.
I'm glad you didn't ghost me because it was a pretty good answer.
Yeah, it was a very good answer, too.
What if
yeah,
she
absolutely.
Just hung up?
Yeah, that would be great. Right after he asked the question, click. See you later. All right,
great.
Al's brother. We'll get back to awesome. You later this afternoon. You sit, Pat, and Ray's coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.